Hello, and welcome to...
I Wanna Frackin' Believe, Dude.
My name is Johnny.
I'm Jolie.
And we're believers.
Jolie.
So, this is our first podcast.
It sure is.
And
first of many.
First of many. Hopefully. Hopefully people are going to want to listen to it. I don't know. I wouldn't want to listen to me.
I hope we can figure out how to upload it properly.
What's uploading?
I think it's where you physically do something, but virtually.
Is it pooping in reverse?
Some could say that, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
So, Iron Man is here with us today. Or at least his core. Right behind you?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Stopping the shrapnel from going to his heart.
Yeah. It's blue. And it's... Although...
It's flickery.
In the real Iron Man, it's red, right? Not blue.
It's red, yes.
It's red. Is that true in the comics? Has it always been red?
I would have to do a little research, but I believe it has always been red.
Okay. Okay.
Though I think War Machine has a different color.
Okay. Interesting. So you said you were watching the Avengers last night.
I was watching the Avengers
last
night.
How many times was this?
I only got through half of it last night.
Okay.
It would be my fourth time.
Fourth.
Well.
Third and a half.
Third and a half, yes.
Okay.
How many times have you seen it?
Twice.
Okay, twice. Both in theaters?
Once was on an airplane, and first was in a theater. Yeah, I paid $8 to watch The Avengers flying back from Mexico, and it was worth every penny.
I bet.
But...
How hungover were you on that plane,
right? I was just really overheated.
Overheated,
more than anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
But thanks to Virgin Airlines. Thank you, Virgin Airlines. Hopefully one day you'll be a sponsor. But...
Plug, plug, plug!
Plug, plug! Virgin America! yeah, but I really liked it, and the second time around, I just thought it was great. I can't imagine the third and a half time. I think it would, I would really, really like it.
At this point, I'm really just like being the nerd that I am, dissecting the dialogue and like really like looking for any little like kind of hint towards Buffy from Joss Whedon's writing.
And what about, and what have your investigations?
Oh, there's proved? Plenty with the Maria Hill character and the Black Widow character. He's written them very similar to other characters he's written in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Which just gives me a huge nerd boner.
Nerd boner.
Nerd boner.
Yeah. So, who is your favorite character in... not outside of the Avengers, but as the Joss Whedon produced version
in the movie, in
yes,
the movie, the
yes,
Avengers.
Yes, the yes.
You know, at the first time I saw it, I would have said Agent Coulson.
Okay, why?
Because he's the everyman. He's the one standing outside watching all these superheroes fight. Right, and he is a fanboy. He has Captain America's trading cards that he's trying to get him to sign. And then there's, you know, the pivotal scene when he dies, when he sacrifices all, and that's such a Joss Whedon thing to do, to get you to love this character and then kill him off so you have a reason to be invested. Last night when I was watching it, I fell in love with the way Bruce Banner was written.
The Hulk.
the Hulk.
Yeah.
And Mark Ruffalo's performance is really, really good. What about you? What's your favorite character?
My favorite character, just out of GP, general principle, I would have to say is Thor. Thor...
God of Thunder?
The God of Thunder. Just, the main reason is because he has this struggle.
Okay.
He has this internal struggle between... He has his brother, who's a piece of shit.
Sure.
Yeah, and he has to clean up after him, and then he then is convinced to fight with the Avengers. Because that wasn't part of his plan.
Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah. So that's why I really like him, because he's from another world.
But first and foremost, he cares about Earth.
He does.
And Avengers aside, he wants to protect Earth, and he says to Loki, "You want to rule this place. You want to rule Earth. I want to protect it. Mm-hmm. You are above them. Mm-hmm. I'm part of them."
Yes.
Why does he care about Earth so much?
Because he's, well, love interest, perhaps. That was not touched.
Yes, yeah.
I know. But overall, he is of the noble class. Royalty. Yeah, so, and with that comes ingrained from birth is nobility.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Exactly,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's why I think he cares so much, is because he actually realizes that even though they are weaklings compared to him, the vast population of the Earth, he knows that it's worth keeping them around and keeping Earth around. So that was my first initial just favorite. But then second time around, I just really can't go wrong with Captain America. You know, he is the guy who he's like the athlete that isn't doping and who wins the race without steroids, and just all around he has this indestructible plate. It's made out of titanium and what else? I forget. But they go into detail as to how the U.S. military developed this shield to protect, and you know, that's all he has. And he's strong, and he has...
Well, but he's a fucking super soldier.
He is as well, yeah. But I feel like he doesn't... He isn't as vain as the other characters, I think.
Well, he's not as vain, that's true. I mean, no one's as vain as Tony Stark.
Of course, I know. And I love what Captain America says to Tony Stark, you know, gets him going and totally changed his philosophy. He took a missile up into outer space and, you know, just took him for the team.
What I was really loving watching it again last night was Cap's transformance. Like, he's a soldier. And he takes orders. That's what he knows. Mm-hmm. He knows to follow orders. But then, Iron Man and Bruce are telling him things like, hey, there's something fishy going on here with S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, Cap's like, I'm just taking orders. I don't want to get my hands dirty. I'm just following orders.
I'm not going to go snooping around.
But then he starts listening to his heart. And he starts questioning things, and he starts actually using his brain that he hasn't really used before. He hasn't really thought for himself. And he is a character of great conviction, very strong conviction. So that's really cool.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to a sequel? Or...
Well, they released the date for the sequel in 2014?
14, okay.
I believe.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier, next summer, and Iron Man 3, and Thor 2 Dark World.
Wow. So
we have all those. We have Guardians of the Galaxy, and we have Ant-Man all before Avengers 2.
Wow. And as far as you know, what is Joss Whedon's role in all of these upcoming superhero films, if at all?
He is the artistic overseer of all the films.
That's right, because as of how long ago? Somewhat recently, right?
The contract was a month ago, I believe.
Wow.
He will be writing and directing Avengers 2, but overseeing
all of DC. I mean, Marvel.
No, you didn't.
I'm sorry. But he will, right?
I got a bitch slap.
I know.
he will be overseeing, I think, with all 5 or 6 of the next Marvel films, and overseeing the TV show for ABC and Disney. Did you know about that?
I think you told me, but I think I forgot.
S.H.I.E.L.D. So
that's okay. Yeah.
Joss Whedon will be directing the pilot.
Animated or live action?
Live action.
Okay.
And then his brother Jed and Jed's wife will be overseeing the day-to-day of the series.
So ABC, that sounds boring.
Right?
It has to be PG. But
they did Lost.
They did, but I don't know. It's those three letters combined with the acronym S.H.I.E.L.D. just doesn't do it for me. I have faith, but I don't know if it's going to be something that...
We're talking about comic books here, though. We're talking about kid stuff. I mean...
I know, but... But Joss... Joss, it's, you know, I feel like he... I don't know. It's just...
I mean, he's done network television his whole career. I mean, Buffy was for teenagers.
I guess I'm just used to True Blood and Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead. Where
I know you want to see boobs and blood,
just the goriest stuff ever. But hey, you know,
Joss Whedon's never done that though. I mean,
Well, bring it full circle. What about you? Inspired me the other day. When you came in with your DVD, you just bought it.
Cabin in the Woods, yes.
I went that very day, went to Cedar Street Video, located on the corner of Cathcart and Cedar Street.
Plug, plug, plug!
Tuesdays and Wednesdays are dollar days, and that includes Blu-rays and DVDs. So I went there, and I rented Cabin in the Woods. Watched it for my second time.
And what'd you think?
And I loved it even more.
It's a perfect movie.
Exactly. So, and I think... I just love it. I can't... It's one of the best cabin movies I've ever seen. Although, I do love Bruce Campbell.
Yes.
I know, but this is like on a different plane.
It is. It's the cabin movies... to change all cabin movies. I don't have words. Where are my words? Where did they go? It's like, bleh, vomit. That's how much I love that movie.
You see, okay, so question for you about the movie. You saw it twice or thrice.
I've seen it...
Four times
now, yes.
Okay, when they are making the bets, and then they're talking about how Japan usually wins, and then there's that...
We see the screens?
Yes, and we see the screens, and there's Sweden and Spain, and I think another country, and it's flashing red letters, four letters, saying fail.
Yeah.
Fail. And then... Japan, there's this crazy exorcism going on.
With the little girls.
Exactly. Okay, so what exactly does that mean that Sweden and Spain failed?
The same way that Japan failed.
Which means that they overcame?
The ritual did not come to fruition. Okay, so there's, from what I've understood from watching the movie, is that all over the world, there are spots where the ancients can be released. So on those spots, they have to have the ceremony and they have to have the sacrifices.
of the whore, the athlete, of, the scholar, and I forget the third one, but that was played by Dollhouse, I forget his name, Joss loves him.
Franz Krams.
Yes.
He was the fool.
He was the fool. There we go. And the virgin may or may not be sacrificed, which is why, towards the end of the movie, that's when it gets the best. That bong he had. Did you see the special features?
I have not.
There's this whole section about the bong.
Really?
Yes!
Oh, God. Yeah. Ryan still has my copy, so okay. I gotta get it from him.
The special features, I highly recommend them. And I would show them to you now, but I rented it. I gave Cedar Street Video, Cathcart, and Cedar Street my money, my dollar. Thank you. I love you. You're my favorite video store in the world.
Fuck you, Netflix.
And Hulu Plus. And it was awesome. Just the whole... Like, I won't spoil it for you, but I will say that those bongs are very expensive.
I bet.
And the way... And they're... The, when...
It's a real thing.
It is. It's a fully functioning... They have... He was talking about how when he went into the job interview to see if he was going to get the role, Mr.
Franz Krams,
he said, they asked him if he smoked pot, and he said no, even though he does or has, and just, and then it's like, okay, well, because you're going to play a stoner, so then he's like, okay, and then, so, how many bongs have you smoked out of in your life, and he was just reiterating how it was the funniest job interview ever. Like, you pretty much got it. We just really need to know how big of a stoner you are.
Oh, that's great. So,
but the bong, like I said, it's very expensive. But there are several of those bongs that are in storage for that movie that were used because you know how he used it to attack one of those hillbilly zombie folk. Right. Well, that one was actually a foam replica.
Oh.
Yeah, so it wouldn't hurt, obviously. Okay. Yeah, but...
Do you remember the name of that family?
Can't remember.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, but they were, you know, I kind of... I like them just because... You see, that's where I think Joss is a genius. Because that's who you want to see. Like, you want to see a zombie family with...
Well, sure.
With no arm and, you know... coming after you, whereas where the athlete, he had that globe in his hand.
Yeah.
You know, and who knows what would have happened. He might have gotten a little weird.
Maybe. Wasn't that the guy with the...
The saw blades. Yes. And then the other person who was in the control room really wanted to see the merman.
And that would have been a terrible movie.
Yes.
But we got hints at all the possibilities. All exactly. The things it could have been. That ballerina with the scary mouth. Was it like...
With the teeth face?
Circle mouth.
Yeah.
Teeth coming from everywhere.
Yeah. That wouldn't have been fun. But I definitely...
It was not Natalie Portman. No Black Swan.
No Black Swan.
No.
Definitely not. Did you like Black Swan?
I did. Mila Kunis and Natalie Portman got it all together. What's not to like?
I know, yeah.
Did you like it?
I did, but I didn't love it.
No.
I thought I got my money's worth and some.
Yeah.
But I wasn't taken aback by any means. I've seen way better films.
Yeah.
You know, it was really good. It was really good. I'm not going to badmouth it at all. Because
I really like body horror, though. That whole... idea of something going wrong with your body and, you know, the whole her going crazy. I like that part of it a lot. Hmm. So it was not your favorite Darren Aronofsky film then?
No, definitely not. And I can't really think of one off the top of my head that... I know that I like his films, but that definitely was not tough.
Did you see The Fountain?
No.
Oh, okay. You're going to have to go rent The Fountain.
Okay. I'll have to wait till next Tuesday to give Cedar Street Video.
I may have it. I've got it from there.
Okay, cool.
The Wrestler?
Mickey Rourke?
Yeah.
Yes. Loved it.
Yeah, that's my favorite movie that Darren Aronofsky has done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although, after seeing The Wrestler, I now buy my lunch meat prepackaged.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I can live my life happily without ever having to use a meat slicer. And I did use a meat slicer before when I worked in a cafe for, you know, we would get these huge chunks of ham or turkey and, you know, we'd slice them.
Did you ever cut yourself?
No, never, because I was extremely careful.
I cut the top of my thumb off.
Did it grow back?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't that bad.
Okay.
I was like 18.
Okay. Yeah. But that's one of those things that kind of freaks me out after seeing Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler. I'm okay. I'll spend a little extra money to get him prepackaged. I just don't ever want to see someone doing that in front of me. And
what does he say? I'm just a used up hunk of meat.
I believe that to be exactly.
It's one of my favorite performances. That and Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino.
Yes.
I don't know why I just get a boner for crotchety old men, but oh, that sounds like a personal problem.
Yeah.
Meek.
Yeah. So Mickey Rourke, I was upset he wasn't in The Expendables 2.
Yeah,
he was in the first one.
What happened to his character? Do you remember?
He was the tattoo artist.
Yeah, but did he die?
I don't think so. Maybe maybe the Expendables, everyone in the new movie, didn't need tattoos. Maybe that's why they didn't go
see
him.
Yeah, they got all their tattoos, yeah. Oh, yeah, because they all went and got
the one.
They all had.
Yeah.
After seeing Expendables 2, what's your feeling?
I think it's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah.
They've started something that I think I think it to be somewhat unstoppable. Because technology is only getting better, and to pull off a movie of that caliber will be so doable. And I think it can be outdone, because there were no helicopters that turned into motorcycles that then turned into a spaceship, you know, and left orbit. I don't know, but that could happen. But
how much special effects do you really need to have a bunch of action stars fight each other? Like,
I feel like it's more stunts than
it's stunts. Yeah. That's why
which there were a lot of stunts.
Oh yeah.
Do you
was there a lot of CGI though?
Bit, but not much. But yes, you're right.
I would rather see stunts. Mm-hmm. I don't really, at this point, really care to see Transformers transforming into, you know,
Optimus Prime
and turning into a dildo. Like, I don't care. No. Give me Dolph Lundgren any day over that.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I should re-examine the credits for Expendables 2, because I'm almost certain I saw a Botox thing that said special thanks to Botox. Did you see Chuck Norris?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ, I'm sorry.
He looks so weird.
He looks like a piece of carved ham that came up from the sniper position, and his face just looks so tight.
Yeah.
I don't think he could. I'm sure it hurts to smile.
Like,
not that Chuck Norris smiles a lot, but, you know, he grinned a little in the movie, but
he's kind of the pansiest of all of them, wouldn't you say?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, why are people so obsessed with Chuck Norris's toughness? Because he doesn't ever really seem that tough to me.
You know, I think he's just one of those guys that you look at him and he looks like a man. Kind of like Ron Swanson.
Yeah,
you know, he encompasses a manly man. Without tattoos and without huge muscles, because he's usually wearing long sleeves, you know, but he has that full beard, and
the beard.
Yeah, it's the beard. Yeah, fear the beard.
Okay.
So, that's my theory. That's my theory. But
see, I'm way more afraid of bald heads.
Oh, okay.
Bald heads freak me out. I mean, like, I'd be way more scared of Bruce Willis than Chuck Norris if I had to take one in a dark alley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, that sounded really bad too.
If you had to take a bald guy in the dark alley, physically defending yourself.
Okay, physically defending myself
in a dark alley with a bald man. Okay, so we are back.
We're back.
What are you drinking?
Diet Cola?
Diet Cola?
Diet Cola brand Stella Artois.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Stella Artois, yeah. Well, cheers again.
Cheers.
Cheers again. It is our day off. We both work a lot, especially Jolie, but...
Johnny works on many things also.
Yes. But we are here for the common good of getting fun things out over the airwaves, over the podcast things.
To you out there in radio land, I mean internet land, I mean...
Podcast places.
Yeah. What do we call them? What do we call the people that are going to listen to this?
Nerds.
Listeners,
disciples.
Do you believe? I believe. Do you believe, Johnny?
I fracking believe.
So let me ask you this: what do you believe in?
I believe in the existence of extraterrestrial biological entities.
Extraterrestrial biological entities.
Yes, which are commonly known as aliens.
Yes.
And
okay.
E.T. fits the bill, but...
Like, from Mexico?
Not that type of alien.
Oh, not that... Oh, okay, okay. No, like, flying saucer out of space.
Oh, yes. I think it would be dumb to think that there's no one else out there.
Sure.
Because there's just so much evidence of things that happen that are inexplicable at some points. For example, when everyone has an experience, and I love meeting people who have had an experience in the past where they're, somehow they always end up in an open field somehow, and they swear to me, and they look me straight in the eyes, and they say, Johnny, I was with my dad, or I was with my mom, and I was by myself, I went off by myself, and I was just looking at the sky, and then... I swear to you, I saw something. And then they go into detail about how this large object all of a sudden started doing a dance routine in the sky, all of a sudden was one place, and then somehow was in a very distant other place. We can still see it in the sky, and then all of a sudden it would just disappear. So, I just want to say that that is something that I want to believe in, and I do.
So. Do you have an experience like that?
Personally?
Yeah, personally.
Not yet. I want to be abducted.
Okay.
And I can't wait. I often dream of it.
Yeah.
And I would be that person, for example, actually, it's a bad example, but I'll still say it anyways. Independence Day, when they're on the top of the library tower in downtown Los Angeles, the highest skyscraper, and they're with their... huge billboard thing saying, you know, pick me, you know, that would be me.
Yeah.
Given the chance, if we know that if these biological entities, extraterrestrial ones, were here, I would definitely want to, I want to join the dark side, or their side, or...
Why would it be the dark side, though?
Just because it's outer space.
It's, okay, you it's know, dark out there.
Yeah, black. I don't know. Kind of like midnight blue.
So I do have an experience that I would like to share with you.
Please.
I was on the Greyhound bus going from Santa Cruz, California to Orange County to a convention, and my boss did not have or did not want to spend the money to fly me, so I had to take the bus. I'm in the middle of nowhere. I think King City... like 2 in the morning, and I'm looking out of the window of the bus. I look up into the sky, and there are objects. They're not planes. They're not stars. And they're doing little spirals. I mean, it could have been my lack of sleep, the stinky ex-con next to me, a combination of things that made me hallucinate, but at that moment, I was like, that has to be an extraterrestrial craft. That has to be a UFO.
How old were you?
22? Okay. Yeah, I was 22 or 23.
What did you do as soon as you realized what you saw?
Just stared off at it and was in awe. Mm. I had no one to talk to.
Didn't tap the shoulder of the stinky ex-con next
to
you and say, hey man, look.
He was asleep.
Okay.
It was like 2 in the morning.
And you didn't want to wake him up.
No.
No. Because, who knows, by the time he woke up and saw there was nothing there, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah, and also, like, I sometimes have this fear of thinking that people are going to think I'm crazy if I, like, say things that, you know, these moments of, like, awareness that I have, like, if I share them, are people going to be like, you're a weirdo.
Why aren't you wearing a bathrobe and have a newspaper in your hand?
Maybe I was. I don't know. I did have a briefcase with nothing in it.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
I was going on a business trip. I thought I should have a briefcase. I only brought one suit and no other clothes.
Wow. Okay. Did this frugal boss of yours, did he put you up in a hotel? Or
he did, but okay. The convention was for choice hotels. Uh-huh. I worked for a hotel.
Yes.
So we didn't have to pay for it.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
It was the company I was working for.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So he spent $30 on the bus ticket, and that was it. He gave me $200 cash to spend.
Okay. During this convention.
Yeah.
Weekend. Okay.
I spent it all on booze in downtown Disney.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Okay, so you saw these things, okay? You see, really, there's this one story in particular that I have that I am going to go in on the record saying that it was definitely supernatural.
Okay.
Extremely supernatural. I just moved to Santa Cruz. The year was 2005.
Okay.
It was that Halloween. I moved here to Santa Cruz from Los Angeles on July 15th, 2005. So, it was October, several months after I moved here, and it was Halloween day, and I was living really close to where you live, near Beach Hill, actually right on the corner of Cliff and 2nd.
Not in the Octagon.
No, Cliff and 2nd. Cliff and 2nd, so literally two compounds down from where you are currently. And I was, my housemate's girlfriend was... I had to use my printer. Okay, so it's actually this printer right here.
Oh.
Yeah. It still works. Yeah. And
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I know. It's I give it TLC. That's the secret. TLC.
Not the band.
Not the band. Rest in peace.
Can you call them a band?
Girl group.
Please continue.
Yes.
I digress.
No, it's fine. So we are there on Halloween Day, October 31st, and she asked to borrow my computer because she was a UCSC student, freshman, and she was really annoying. Her name was Harmony.
Ooh.
Yeah. Anyways.
Was she a vampire?
She was not.
Oh. That you know of?
Not that I know of.
Did she go out during the day?
She was really pale, actually. Come to think of it. But with that being said, I brought my printer. It was a very small two-bedroom apartment. Bring out my printer. Set up in the really tiny living room. And then, at the time, I was trying to alter my Halloween costume. Which, at the time, I was supposed to be a Colombian drug lord by the name of Pablo Escobar.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to be.
Sure.
So, I got these scissors.
Kind of look like him.
A little, yeah. Yeah. At the time, I just had a handlebar.
Okay.
Yeah, so no chop. But I am altering this this camo green t-shirt to be a sleeveless.
Oh.
You know, because I want to be a little tough.
Yeah.
So then after that, I put the scissors down in the living room. And it's on a coffee table. And about 5 feet from the location that the scissors were placed was the printer. I then go out and I was probably drinking some sort of rum concoction, and I probably go and smoke a cigarette, and then I come back about a half hour later and I'm looking for the scissors.
Oh.
And the scissors are nowhere to be found.
Nowhere.
Absolutely nowhere. They weren't in the bedroom, they weren't in the bathroom, kitchen. They should have been in the living room. And hours went by. Hours that the scissors had gone completely missing. And then I just couldn't let it go. I was like, what the hell is happening?
Did you yell at Harmony?
No. Well, I did ask her, and she had no... She had absolutely no use for them, right?
Yeah.
So then hours go by, and I kind of, like, give up. Like, all right, well, they're gone. Something happened to them. Luckily, I had another pair. So I then... I hear Harmony calling out Sean, which is my housemate's name, her boyfriend, call his name, and she's almost yelling. And and then I was in my bedroom, and then I come out, and she's yelling because the printer wasn't working.
Hmm.
And she needed to print out this paper, and blah, blah, blah. So then she pretty much yelled for Sean to tell me to fix the printer.
Why wouldn't she just tell you?
Because we didn't really know each other. And she, you know, like, Sean and I were really good friends. So he's like, hey, man, can you see if you can fix the printer? And everything looked fine. You know, it's like, it should have been working. But then I go to the back of the computer. And in the rear, there's this, I would say about maybe 9-inch by 3.5, 4-inch long panel that can be removed, which is where the spiral
for the people that can't see this, Johnny is using his hands to show me the space that he's describing. It's really great.
Yeah. Continue. So it's about 9 by 4 inches. It's a panel that you remove from the rear part of the printer, and that is where the spinning mechanism gets the paper and feeds it to the printer where the ink goes. And then as I remove the panel, lodged in between the...
No way.
Yes. Lodged between the spinning mechanism that feeds the paper to the ink were my scissors. That were lodged into the back of the printer. Ask me how many times I had removed that panel.
How many times?
Never! Never! I didn't even know I could until I saw these little... handle things that turn...
You're fucking kidding me!
No, I'm not! It was on Halloween, it was October 31st, it had just gotten dark, and the scissors that had gone missing were shoved into the back of the printer.
Into the print... What? Oh.
So, call me crazy, but hey...
Someone was trying to kill that printer.
Yes. But why?
Death by scissors.
Death by scissors to an inkjet that's 10 years old. At the time, it was about 5. But so, after that, I instantly became a believer.
Okay. But that story, paranormal, yes, could explain it. But not extraterrestrials.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. No, just definitely paranormal. Supernatural.
We're talking apparitions, maybe? All right, what would you...
What would I consider to
yeah,
be...
Yeah, what would you consider...
To be extraterrestrial?
No, of your experience, the printer scissors story.
Yes.
What... excuse me. I have a little something in my throat. What would you think could explain that? What could have it been?
Okay, if I were Dana Scully,
yeah,
I would say that there's a logical explanation that that when nobody was looking, she probably would have said it was Harmony who did it out of spite.
I would say it's Harmony.
Exactly. But she was a dumb little hoe.
More reason that she would fuck your printer up.
The scissors were in this, were put in a way that you would risk damaging the printer. It would be inoperable.
It was your printer, though.
It was my printer, and she was going to UCSC at the time.
Yeah.
And had to...
She needed it.
She needed it. That's okay. Why. Why would she sabotage the only printer unless this girl who had...
So you would buy a better one?
Did I buy a better one?
No, but maybe she was hoping that you would.
maybe. Yeah, and you could ask, oh yeah, well she could have put it on a thumb drive and taken it down to FedEx, Kinko's.
Yeah,
but this was 2005. Thumb drives didn't abound. People didn't have them on their lanyards over their neck or hanging off their pocket.
Yeah, they didn't throw them in the little change jar in the supermarket. Like
exactly, yeah. They don't. So
thumb drives are not like pennies.
Exactly. Yeah. I have a couple. I used to have one on my keychain, but it got snagged on something and I lost it, and I had a bunch of X-Files videos on it, and yeah. I was kind
of
sad.
I have a teapot on the top of my fridge just full of them.
Really?
Yeah. I empty my pockets and just throw my thumb drives in there every time I get home.
Yeah, so back to the scissor incident of 2005. I to this day cannot find a logical explanation as to how, why, and who was responsible for it. So that would be the, would you say, the catalyzing event?
Yeah.
For my current beliefs.
Yeah, for your current beliefs.
Yeah, which I do believe that there are energies in the world that may have had something to do with it, because I personally do believe that there are ghosts and there are supernatural things that could possibly alter your items, your personal things, and, you know, maybe just for fun or not necessarily malicious.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you believe in other dimensions that are coexisting simultaneously as yours in the same timeline, at the same time, in the same space?
Yes, I do. Okay. I do.
I also do.
Yeah. Parallel universe?
Parallel realities? Parallel, okay. Yeah, parallel universe. I guess you could say that. What I'm trying to get at is the idea that ghosts are actually just other people that are occupying the same space as you in a different
dimension.
Different dimension.
Yeah.
They're just doing their thing. They were putting the scissors on a desk. Your printer just happens to be on a desk in their dimension. They don't know the printer's there.
Exactly.
Oh, it's an idea.
I want to believe.
I also want to believe.
Yeah. I frackin' believe, dude.
So, I frackin' believe, dude. So that was your catalyst to you believing in something greater than yourself? Or, no, not greater than yourself, but greater than the reality that we see.
Okay. Yes. And you and I both have a mutual friend by the name of Jeremy.
Yes.
Who has the most interesting take on our reality. He often tells me that we only see things because we want to see them.
Yeah.
And right now we're in beautiful downtown Santa Cruz. It's a... We want to believe it's 67 degrees out, which it is.
It is, yeah.
It is. It can be scientifically proven that it is.
The and sky's clear.
The
sun's
sky's
out.
The clear. And we're looking out this window facing the street And we're seeing cars drive by and motorcycles and,
yep.
You know, according to Mr. Jeremy, he thinks that we are, that, lack of a better term, just we are programmed to see these things and to perceive them as so. But I don't. You have some pretty good Jeremy stories. Can you share one in particular?
Can you? What one are you thinking of? Can you?
Anyone. Just something. Because Mr. Jeremy is a very. He was a drunken sailor.
He was a drunken sailor from what he's told us. Yeah. What can you tell me? I can't remember right now. What was the martial art that he is mastering?
Qigong.
Qigong. Yes.
As well as Tai Chi.
As Tai Chi.
Yes.
He comes into our work every day with a wooden katana sword, and which he practices in the lobby. It's very great. He also tries to kick our lamp fixtures. Have you seen him do that?
Yeah. He can kick pretty well.
He is learning. He recently told me that he is learning to the ability to steal his opponent's soul when he is in a fight. Amazing. Can you imagine that?
I can.
If you are in a fight, you don't have to touch your opponent, but you can steal their soul and control them.
Now that's... If that is possible, which I want to believe it is possible, I think that's more powerful than a 30-round automatic shotgun. The ability to take someone's soul is, and to control it, not because obviously you're fighting, so there's something that is compelling both parties to combat each other, and to be able to remove the person's soul is, I think that if and when he does this, I think we should interview him.
I agree, we should interview him. I do not want to be his opponent. I'll tell you that right now.
Never.
I want to be on his side.
Yes, always. Always want to be on Jeremy's side.
He was telling you about this idea of that our reality is programmed. Mm-hmm. Did he say anything about who has programmed it or who he believes has programmed our reality?
He didn't say specifically Rupert Murdoch.
No.
But he did say media.
Yeah, we...
Because, you know, I think that one of... I often think of the film They Live.
Yeah.
And
great film.
Great film. Cinematic triumph. You put on these glasses, and you can see. So, I mentioned They Live to Jeremy, and he says, yes. That's a...
That concept also makes me think of The Matrix.
I haven't dropped the M word to Jeremy.
Probably don't do it.
Actually have thought about it.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about Point Break, and then Keanu came up.
Oh.
And that's one of Jeremy's favorite movies, by the way.
Point Break.
Yeah. He enjoys it.
I love in The Avengers when... Tony Stark says to Thor, calls Thor a Point Break.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay, that was great. So Jeremy that's what he told me, is that we are told that this is what we should see, and therefore we do.
Okay.
He also practices yogic dream work, also known as lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
Where he is he meditates every day. But with lucid dreaming and yogic dream work, it's when you are not awake, when you're sleeping in a slumber state, you are in control of what you're doing. And he has told me that he tries to meditate in his sleep, trying to make himself do that. He says it's very difficult.
Yeah.
And he only knows a few people who are able to do it, and they are gurus of sorts, and they believe that when one can successfully dream lucidly, you reach the full enlightenment.
Oh.
Because you are always in control of what you're doing. Wow. I know. And,
wow.
And that's just, and I am not to say Jeremy's a hippy-dippy kind of guy, but that stuff's far out.
It's so far out
that
my mind is blowing as we speak. Yeah.
My paradigm is constantly shifting.
And we keep on drifting through this reality. So all you believers out there, keep on believing and hold on to that feeling.
Stay tuned next week for another episode of I Wanna Frack and Believe, Dude, with Johnny
and Jolie.